Well, let's just do this. Let's just do it. It's the news, according to me. Oh, it's one of those days. It's Tuesday. That's one of those days. It's a day that ends in Y. I have a Tuesday, May 23rd, 7:33 and 33 seconds. Look at that. On Tuesday, 2023. Yeah, also ends in 3. Everything seems to end in 3 today. It's a month with 3 letters. On the 23rd day, 7:33. It's the third day of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Interesting day, I must say. A lot of things planned for today. I've got a lot going on. And unfortunately, I probably have a short show today. Fortunately for you, unfortunately for me, because I need the therapy of having a nice long show where I can talk and get it all out. I don't want to pin any of this stuff inside. Get this stuff pinned up inside of you for very long, and you can flip out. Go nuts. A little brief side note. Since I haven't even had a note yet, I'm going to have a side note. I'm going to start with a side note. I have something in my throat. That's a side note right there. Now, the side note is I started watching 2,000 Mules last night. Watched about the first half of it before I fell asleep. I was just dead beat tired when I started watching it. And the first 10 minutes of this thing, I was livid. I was already feeling myself getting really angry because there's obvious issues here. Now, there's a fellow by the name of, I think it's Phillips, this True the Vote and some of this. I need to find out what's, they were taken into custody a while back. I don't know what's happened with their case. I'm trying to dig up some things last night. I didn't have a chance to look into it this morning, but let's find out what happened. And a few months ago, 9-10 months ago, they were actually arrested. I don't know if it was some other side charge. This is the way the FBI works. This is the way they do it. They find something else to get you on. This is how they got Mike Flynn. This is how they do things. They do process crimes or what they do is, I just heard from a lawyer this morning talking about some stuff and the way the FBI operates. What they'll do is they'll have an interview with you, and they'll come back and have another interview. And what they'll do is they'll just say, this is just an interview. It's not an interrogation. You don't have to have your lawyers present. This is exactly what they did with Mike Flynn. They had already talked to Mike Flynn. So they had something on record. And then what they do is they come back and they have this little interview. Let's just send a couple guys over. Like this is what James Comey said. I'm just going to send a couple guys over because, you know, they're in disarray over there. They don't know what they're doing. Let's just send a couple guys over. Normally I have to go through certain channels to have a discussion with. But we just decided to send a couple guys over. In other words, they broke protocol. And everybody laughed about that when he was being interviewed by some people. We're just going to send some guys over. In other words, it wasn't SOP. It was not by the book. They go over there. They convince Michael Flynn that they're just going to have this discussion. He doesn't need his lawyers present. And they supposedly catch him in a lie, which he did not do. But how do you argue with a Justice Department that decides to prosecute? Because the Justice Department, Merrick Garland, wasn't there. And even if he was there, he probably would have caused the thing to happen. There's some weird stuff going on. Weird stuff. And it's as if we have this group of individuals on the left who cannot see past their own nose. I don't know of any other way to describe this than they just have no self-awareness whatsoever. Jamal Bowman has a track record of yelling, cussing, and just becoming unhinged And then sitting back and claiming that he never raised his voice. He never called. He didn't do anything intimidating. Somebody's just standing there minding their own business, or they just happen to show up in your city, or they whatever happens. And they start getting very loud. He's a large man. They start getting very loud, yelling in your face, claiming that he's talking like a principal. Because I guess he was a principal of a school or something. I don't know. Like as if that gives him now license to save the children. We have to save the children. Guns, more guns equals more crime, equals more death. States that have open carry laws have more death. Well, states that have open carry laws, he doesn't even know what he's talking about, first of all. Almost every state in the country has an open carry law. You can carry openly. It's the cities and some of the districts that have further regulations on that kind of stuff. However, open carry in some states, there are states you can't have concealed carry. And it's those open carry states that are the blue states. States that have concealed weapons carry have less crime. Less violent gun crime. Because, guess what? You don't know who's carrying. There's this new thing right now. Speaking of that, I'm getting off another side note. Side note to the side note. I think it's called Mazing or whatever it's called. It's something. They're doing this stuff. It's a TikTok thing. Where they're doing pranks. This kid, I guess he took a gas can, filled it with water. He walks up to this guy's car and starts dumping what appears to be gasoline on his car. Because it's coming out of a gas can. It's water. But the guy doesn't know that. Guy gets out of his car with a gun. This kid's lucky to be alive. There was another lady at a park, sitting there with her dog at a park. Some kid walks up, starts talking about the dog. The dog comes up to him. And she has the dog on a leash, but she just kind of lets the dog go because the dog wants to sniff around. He acts like he wants to be friendly and play with the dog. He grabs the dog. It's a small dog. And starts running away. And he's filming himself doing this. Like as if he's stealing the dog. Now, let me tell you something. I know it's just a dog. I realize that. In reality, it's just a dog. It's classified as livestock by most state entities. However, there's a serious charge for stealing livestock. In Texas, they used to hang you for stealing a man's horse. There's still some of those laws on the books in many states. Cattle rustling is an extremely harsh punishment in most states. You pick up my dog and you start running away, you better hope with your life that you can run faster than me. And if you can run faster than me, there's something else that can catch up with you that I'm sure you can't outrun. Yeah, I'll probably go to prison for it. But you're not going to ever do that again. You're not going to do it to anybody else's dog. Let alone mine. That's just cruel. That's, to some people, it's like snatching up their child. Can you imagine that? That'll be the next thing. Somebody walks up and looks at somebody's child and then runs off with their stroller. Oh, isn't that funny? Oh, look, we're going viral. Got 7 million hits on this. And you're also going to jail. Put that on your TikTok. This is the kind of culture we have now. Anything goes. And nobody seems to have any awareness that anybody else is hurt by what you're doing. This is where Jamal Brown is, right? Bowman is right now. Marjorie Taylor Greene is standing outside the Capitol area there, or whatever it is, minding her own business. She wasn't in anybody's face. She wasn't yelling. She wasn't doing anything. And Jamal walks up to her, starts yelling at her. Your party's hanging by a thread. You've got to save your party. Now, he may not think he's yelling. There's a difference between yelling and screaming. He was yelling. It was over the top. Volume. It was not a normal conversation. It wasn't a loud environment. It wasn't like he was at a ball game or at some racetrack somewhere where he had to yell in order to be able to be heard. It was a normal situation where he could have just spoke in a normal tone. I mean, maybe a little bit elevated. It's outside. But he's just creating a show. He's creating he wasn't just talking to Marjorie Taylor Greene. He was talking to everybody around him, all the reporters who were standing around him. He wanted to create an event. He needs the attention. It's about him. Marjorie turns back in his face with a bunch of facts, and then she ends up walking off. Now, there were people around Jamal that was trying to settle him down initially, and then they kind of backed off. Then AOC jumps in at the very end and says, "She's not worth it, bro," and then walks off. Like as if, you know, AOC is such a highly, you know, skilled intellectual. She's not worth it. I don't know that I've ever said that about anybody. Like that, at least with that kind of attitude. And now the people on the left are saying, Marjorie Taylor Greene goes full racist, Karen, and attacks the black congressman. Jamal Brown calls out Marjorie Taylor Greene. If you watch the video, now you watch Jamal's response to it. Oh, all I was doing was talking to her, and she's a white supremacist. She's using language that a white supremacist would use by saying that she's intimidated by me. She feels threatened by him. Marjorie Taylor Greene's like 5 feet tall. Some guy come, I don't care what the color of your skin is, you come walking up to somebody and starts yelling at them. Do you think you'd feel threatened? If he would have talked like that to your daughter, you'd probably step in because you're threatening her. Now, this is his, what do you call it? When it's your peer at work. Your work, you know, peer. She was in downtown New York. I think I can play this. I think this is just the clip. Let's see if I can get this actually on here. See if we can play this real quick. I've got a couple things in the queue. This is what happened at the mall. This is what's going on. This is when they had the event. Let's see if.
Save the party. Save America. Save the children.
Now you notice that he's not letting her say anything. She's trying to get some words in. He just keeps going on with save the party. Your party's hanging by a thread. Save the children. Save the children. No, do something about gun crime.
Do something about guns. Come on. Invest in education. The border is where Trump left me. What are you talking about?
Where are the migrant kids?
You guys.
She's bringing up the whole thing about migrant children. He doesn't care about them. He just cares about this whole thing about guns. What about all the migrant children? They've lost about, I think it's 120,000 children that they don't have any idea where they are now. Who knows who brought them up? They have no idea where they are. That's our border system right now. Oh, the border's under control. Border's secure. Well, those little children aren't secure because we have no idea where they are, who they're with. No idea. As far as we know, they're being sold. I'm sure there's a percentage of them that are being sold into some kind of trafficking. He doesn't care about them. This is all fake, faux virtue signaling is all he's doing. And he's claiming that it's Fox News.
We love the migrant children.
I'm sure he does.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? You can't find them. They're in my basement. What's he
talking about?
Yeah, migrant children.
No, we don't know.
That's Fox News. The migrant children missing is Fox News. This is the kind of complete, and he's not even facing her. He's facing the cameras. He knows this is a show. He knows he's putting on a show here. He's barely listening to her at all. He just keeps repeating himself. You've got to save the party.
Save the party.
He's laughing. He's claiming that he's being jovial. He's laughing at her. He's not laughing about the conversation they're having. He's accusing her of things, yelling at her, not letting her talk, not having a conversation. It's a show for the cameras. And then he points at her and laughs and claims that he's being jovial. This is the kind of disconnect this man has with his. Now, this is not the first time he's done this. He also, I believe this is where he's yelling at her when she's in New York City. Of course, that's Jamal's. I think that's his area or whatever. And he's wearing his little whistle. He's got a whistle on. This is what they do now. They have whistles, and when they protest, they just blow the whistles in order to keep people from hearing what the people who are in many cases have a permit to do some kind of a demonstration or whatever. They'll just blow their whistle. You're going to hear the whistles in the background. That's not the police whistle. Those aren't police whistles. So Marjorie Taylor Greene shows up in New York, and this is Jamal. Now she's in her car now. He's telling her to get out of here. Get out of the city.
I was born and raised in New York City. This is the city that I love. It's a city focused on hard work and love for all people. We will never accept hateful rhetoric in our city.
Do you see the irony here? We will never accept hateful rhetoric in our city because we hate it. And I'm being rhetorical about that. This is not a conversation. This is him wanting to kick her out of the city, not have a conversation.
Any rhetoric that is divisive, any rhetoric that uplifts white supremacy.
Yeah, here we go. This is white supremacy. White supremacy. We have to bring that in there. Everybody's racist. He's a black man. Nobody's asked him how he feels about anything. It's all about him.
We are pushing back against that in all its forms. Marjorie Taylor Greene needs to take her ass back to Washington and do something about gun violence.
Okay, he lives in a city. He's the representative there, and he wants her to do something about gun violence in his city. His city of love, where they just love everybody and work hard. He's concerned about gun violence. What? I thought this was like a perfect city. You've lived there all your life. You're a representative. You're a black man, a representative. In what other country do you think you could stand up and shout about this kind of thing and get away with it?
Do something about affordable housing. Do something about childhood poverty. Do something about climate change.
I thought you were just all working hard there. I thought New York was just a bunch of hardworking people who just love everybody. It sounds like utopia. Apparently not.
Do your freaking job, Marjorie Taylor Greene. You don't need to be in New York City.
This is not angry rhetoric, by the way. Don't confuse this with angry rhetoric. Divisiveness. Calling people names like that. This is because now what is she supposed to do to defend herself? Is she supposed to do anything? She's supposed to sit back and take it.
Talking that nonsense. Go back to your district. What are you doing here?
It's called visiting. It's called a major hub city of the United States. Is he allowed to go anywhere else? Is he allowed to go into any other state, any other city, and stand with anyone else? Is he allowed to do that? Apparently not. Apparently, if he goes anywhere else and does that, well, of course, then it's racism because he's a black man. He can't do it. That's why.
You're here for politics. You're here because you want to be VP. You're here for your own fundraising. You're here for your own nonsense.
So he knows all this. He knows all this. And what is he there for? Nothing for himself, I'm sure. He's a very selfless individual. He's the epitome of selflessness.
New York City stood up to Marjorie Taylor Greene to let her know, get the hell out of here. Don't open one word in our freaking city.
Don't open one word in our city. Okay, so there's that. That's the only two I'm going to play. Now, there was another time where Jamal also was being very belligerent with Massey, another representative. Same kind of a situation. And Massey tried to settle things down, tried to calm things down. And they ended up, you know, it became a racial thing again. It was all about the race thing. He always pulls that card out. And the reason I'm bringing this up in this particular case is because this is getting to be, now he's claiming what she's saying is dangerous. He's going to be threatened because the MAGA crowd is going to come after him now because she said she feels threatened. That means the MAGA crowd, that's a dog, that's not a dog whistle, that's a bullhorn to tell the MAGA crowd to come after him. Now he's a target now. These people have worked themselves into such a frenzy. Now, there's something, when an attacker, this is, when people get into a physical confrontation with someone, I would rather deal with someone who has a gun and pointing it at me and they're angry with me. I would rather deal with that person. I don't want to deal with either one, but I'd rather deal with a person who's angry with me than a person who's scared of me. Fear has a way of making us do things, compelling us to do things that we would not otherwise do. And we lose our sense of logic. You can be angry and still be calmed down and have a sense of logic. You cannot. If you're fearful, it is very difficult to overcome that. Panic. I always told my, when I was teaching flying, or even when I was teaching martial arts, I would always make this stupid statement. It was so obviously stupid. It was a very ironic statement, or not ironic, but a very, a cynical statement. Whenever you're in an emergency situation, whenever you're faced with something that's very difficult to do or a threatening situation, panic is your best friend. Not. It's, you cannot, panic is not ever. Nobody ever has ever said, thank goodness I panicked in that situation and I saved myself or saved a bunch of people by panicking. You have to be deliberate and be. It becomes a very serious discipline to work yourself past panic, which is just overwhelming fear is what it is. Now, there is a healthy amount of fight or flight kind of sense, but you have to be, again, you have to be aware of what's happening with yourself when you're in that situation. When you're flying an airplane or you're driving a boat or whatever it is you're doing, and you find yourself in a very difficult situation, you have to focus on what's in front of you to do at the moment. Work on it as hard as you can, one thing at a time. Address the most serious thing, deal with that, and then work to the next thing, all the way to the ground or all the way to the end of what you're doing. Do what you can, remain calm, because panic, flipping out, reacting instead of responding, typically never helps anybody. Quite often, it's the wrong thing to do. I used to tell my students, if it's at night and you lose your engine, and you're putting the airplane down, and you don't know what you're going into because it's just dark. It's one of those really dark nights. There's not a star in the sky because it's overcast. It's gloomy, low visibility. You're aiming for an area where there's no lights. Trying to hopefully there's a field there that you can put the plane down in. You get down close to the ground. You turn your landing light on. If you don't like what you see, you turn it off. Keep flying the plane as slow as you can. You know you're going to crash, but you're going to crash as slow as you can, in control. People have survived crashes when they didn't know the crash was coming. In fact, there's a case just a few miles from here where these people were flying. They were what's called scud running. They were trying to get into the airport here locally. They're flying in. Tried to stay below the clouds. It kept coming down, kept coming down. The visibility was really low. Kind of had the ground in sight. They flew over a parking lot, so they thought they had plenty of altitude. Well, there was a woods between the parking lot and the runway. They hit a tree. A bunch of trees in the top of the woods. The tower knew that the plane had gone down. The rescue, fire and rescue showed up in the woods. They went to look for the airplane. They were running around, couldn't find it. Finally, someone from the airplane up above yelled down and told them, hey, we're up here. They were all fine. They nestled into the trees and survived. Now, they did not catch on fire, which would have been an obvious, I'm sure the fire department would have found them. It's one of those cases where if they had seen the trees and tried to avoid them, they probably would have pulled back, stalled the airplane, and nosed it into the trees. It would have been much worse. Now, I say all of this because panic, fear, it seems to be that's what the left has stirred up among themselves. They've got this fear of this frenzy of who can say that Trump is a racist more than, it's like, I've said he's racist, more than anybody else. Therefore, I'm winning. So I'm yelling racist more than anybody else. Bernie Sanders, every time Bernie Sanders had a chance to speak, the first thing he would say was, Donald Trump is a racist. There's no correlation with any evidence. There's no example of... And if it is, if they do bring anything up, it's always something that the news media said he said. Or it's a doctored video of him saying something. I'm condemning the white supremacist completely. But there were good people on both sides of the issue. The issue was whether the statues should stand up or not. That was the issue. That was what the protest was about. But then there were these white supremacists there, and he was condemning them totally. All he said was, all they took out of that was there were fine people on both sides. He thinks there are fine people who are white supremacists. Well, maybe there are. See, this is the thing about this whole thing is, if you have a political ideology that's wrong or that's abhorrent, they throw the baby out with the bathwater. Now you are the criminal. You are the despicable person who should be removed from society. And that's just one little aspect of your life. And it's a terrible aspect of your life, by the way, if you're a racist or a white supremacist. I'm sure somebody will take that and twist it around. But at the same time, I'm sure that even some of the most ridiculously evil people in the world didn't just eat every child they saw. They're they could probably function in society and be kind of normal people, but they still have weird ideologies doesn't mean that they should be, it means that we should have a debate with them. We should have some kind of common ground with them. We should have a conversation about this weird ideology. So my fear is that their fear, we're all just feared. My concern is that their fear is going to just continue to rattle them down this road where they feel like their reaction is justified. There was an individual who, I think it was out in California. There were some guys just walking around. They had MAGA hats on. And there was a gang of people who came after them. They weren't doing it. They weren't saying anything. They weren't in a protest. They were just this large group of people. I think there was like 20 or 25 of them. And this guy, he's on record, on video. They all of them had to scatter basically because these guys were, this big horde of people came after him. And this guy was hiding in some little area. I don't know if it was around a car or around something. He was hiding somewhere. And he apparently this guy comes around the corner and he says, "Oh yeah, found one of them over here. He's right here." Pop, pop. Shot him. Dead. Did you hear about that in the news? Were there riots in the street after that? I don't even know. I'm not even sure if the guy was prosecuted. Probably was, but it wasn't. Certainly wasn't televised. It certainly wasn't something the news media could use as their narrative. Do anything with it. It's just the kind of thing that is, and when he was interviewed later, he said, "Well, I felt threatened by this guy." So the ideology threatens them. They feel threatened, so they feel justified in killing you because it's self-defense. It's the way they see it. Well, I feel like I'm defending myself because I feel threatened. This is where the trans community is right now. They feel somehow threatened. Who's threatening them? I don't know who's bringing it up. It's one of those weird things. I don't know that anybody has necessarily. There's always going to be somebody out there that doesn't like you. They just don't like the way you look. They don't like your hair. They don't like your glasses. Whatever it is, right? There's always somebody out there who doesn't like you because you're different. You know, it's sad, but that's just the reality of where we're at. It doesn't give you the right to preemptively strike them. Well, it's a preemptive strike because I know that they were going to hate me, so I have to get rid of them first. Now I feel so safe and secure in my own little world here. It's all because it's all about me. I deserve to live in a life that's safe and secure. Well, you have a right to protect yourself, yeah. So it's just a lot of weird things like this. And I don't understand the psychology of it necessarily. I'm not a psychologist. By the way, I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a financial counselor or a virologist. I'm going to turn corners here and talk about what's in my cup. I have a sweet tea. Homemade sweet tea. There you go. I don't have any chai this morning. I heated up the water. I was going to make some chai. The way my schedule was going here this morning, I do have some stuff I got to get to. In fact, I wasn't going to have a show this long even. But I ended up not making my chai. I came downstairs. And of course, I have to get down here when the cat's not here because it's really hard to get the cat out of the basement. So again, usually the cat knows I come down here right after breakfast and he usually is sitting in my chair. I come down here. I don't know where he is. I look around all over the place. Turn the light on there. He's sitting in my chair. And then he goes nuts. He wants to play. He wants to get real feisty with me. Thinks it's playtime. He kind of owns the basement. And somehow I got down here before he got down here this morning. And so if that happens, I shut myself in and I don't let him. I just don't even open the door again. Because if I had my little booth down, it's all set up, I wouldn't have a problem with it. He could just be wherever he wanted to be. He wouldn't be able to get in there. But it's right now it's in a situation where uh, I jumped down here and I didn't. And I realized that when I got down here, I didn't have my chai. So now I don't have my chai. So I do have, but I do have my sweet tea. So there you go. Now I've got a little segue. What I want to talk about, one is what I'm going to do on Friday. Friday morning show, very difficult to tell whether or not I'm going to be able to do a live show on Friday or not. I don't know where I'll be. The nature of my job right now is that I will be basically kind of on call about four to 5 days a week, usually over the weekend, typically for a while, at least through the summer. And that means I have no idea. There will probably be three shows a week, mostly, normally. So there will normally be three shows a week, possibly four. And I will never know if it's going to be a Friday live show or not. Probably not. This, to give you an idea, this coming month, basically like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or possibly Monday, Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for a couple of weeks, and then it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for a couple of weeks. I don't know what it'll be like going into July. I have no idea. So that's where we're at right now. So let's just give you an idea. Now let's change corners here a little bit quick and talk about the FBI. The FBI has continued to string along. There's an investigation going on, and James Comer is trying to get information from the FBI. He's trying to get some forms. He's trying to get paperwork, documentation of some things that happened with regard to some of the investigations that they've done. They continue to string him along. They have these meetings where they just do something else, and they don't even act, they act like they don't even know what they want. Oh, we don't have that form. Sorry, we don't have that form. We can't even acknowledge that form exists because of our sources and methods. We can't divulge our sources and methods. Personally, it is time to start playing hardball. Congress needs to start pulling the funding from the FBI. No more. No more of this. They are just, they're playing this cat and mouse game, and it is time for the cat to just eat the mouse. There comes a time when the cat just needs to kill the mouse. The FBI has not been around the entire history of the United States. We act like we can't live without it. Oh, I got to have the FBI. It's a very important institution. There's even a guy being interviewed the other, I just happened to see this. They act like the FBI, we can't do without. It keeps us safe, and the FBI protects us and keeps our sovereignty in our nation and in our elections and blah, blah, blah. We'll lose our democracy. Blah, blah, blah. Everything hinges on the FBI. Oh, my goodness. No, it doesn't. Believe it or not, local law enforcement is able to enforce all law. Federal, state, the little town police officer, city police officer can arrest you for a federal crime. They can enforce federal crime. They can enforce county crime, county laws. They can enforce state law. The state police officer, believe it or not, cannot enforce city ordinances. City law or a county ordinance. County cop. In most jurisdictions, county police officers have quite a bit of jurisdiction. Now, you want to know who has the most of anybody anywhere? The DNR. We call them conservation officers here. People who go around, they check for fishing licenses and those kinds of things. They actually have even more power. Pretty interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. So, I'll leave it at that. Now, sometimes, and we were talking about the FBI earlier, the way they operate. They interview you, then they come back and interview you again if you don't answer the question exactly the way you answered it the first time, Guess what? You lied to them, one way or the other. And again, this is why most lawyers say, as soon as the police start asking you questions, ask for a lawyer. The dirty little secret is, when they stop you for, say they stop you for a traffic incursion. Now, I had a police officer, the last time I was stopped by a police officer, it was because he felt like my license plate, he looked at my license plate and thought it was crooked and that it was barely hanging on. So he was stopping me because he thought my license plate was going to fall off. Now, he walked directly from his car up to my truck window. He never looked at my license plate on the way up. Now, he might have looked at it as he was sitting in his car. I don't know. This was at night. I wasn't speeding. I didn't disobey any traffic signs. He pulls me over. Now, this is back when Ron Paul was running in the primary. I had a Ron Paul sticker in my truck on my truck. I was in my truck. He took my driver's license, went back to his car, came back up. And I said, well, do I need to look at my license plate or something? Oh, no, it's fine. It looks like it's on there. Okay. Okay, so you're telling me that as I was driving by you, you saw, he wasn't following me. He pulled out. He was sitting somewhere. He pulled out and then pulled me over. And then he, you know, decides to tell me that, oh, no, it's okay. No, you're fine. Of course, he wanted to look in the back of my truck. Now, he asked me some questions. Where'd you come from? Where are you coming from? Where are you going? Those are the kind of questions that police officers ask all the time. You don't have to answer those questions, by the way. They have no business knowing those things. I just said, I'm going home. I'm on my way home. That's all I said. And that's more than I should have said. But, you know, you're trying to be at least somewhat cordial with the officer. They're trying to do their job. They're trying to do an investigation. I understand. I get it. But you're not obligated to answer any of their questions. Now, if you don't answer their questions, they can get belligerent with you. Well, we're going to have to do a search of your car. I don't consent to any searches. Well, we're going to bring out the dogs. Then it just becomes this whole big, long thing. And of course, they know most of us have lives to live, and we're not going to put up with this. So we're just going to go along with it, whatever they want. This is why you see videos of people not complying, or consenting to anything that they want to do, and going ahead. But of course, they don't have any place that they really need to be. Which is why most people drive, because they've got some place to go. And here they are being interrupted by this officer who thinks that they're going to have some kind of drug bust that's going to put their, you know, give them a higher up position. Whatever it is, it's going to be the feather in their cap. Whatever it is. And so they decide that they're going to pursue you now. Start asking more questions and start going after you. And if you don't answer the questions, well, that's suspicious activity by not answering. Police officers asking you questions and you're not answering the question. That's suspicious. Now I have reasonable cause to search your car. But whatever. They come up with all these weird ideas and rules in their own head. But it's, and granted, 90% of police officers out there are really on the up and up. There's, you know, maybe one out of the last 10%, 1% of the last 10% that they're really just dirty. And unfortunately, we don't know, as the public, we don't know which one of those we have here standing at our door. It only takes one. The next thing you know, you're going to jail on some kind of weird charges, and they're pressing charges and giving you a plea deal. And don't think that this doesn't happen. It happens all the time. So there you go. We have this kind of a society and culture in which we live here. So I'm going to leave it at that. Unfortunately, I there may or may not be a show tomorrow. I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen. I have some travel issues tomorrow. I do need to be in Chicago for a while. So I'm not sure how the morning is going to go. So I may do an extremely early show. It'll be short. And then I'm going to get out of here. But it's going to be a very difficult day, travel-wise. Easy day other than that. Just the traveling is going to be the difficult part of it. So whether or not there'll be a show tomorrow, it may be tomorrow night that I have a show. Because there may not be a show Thursday morning. That may be the other issue. In fact, likely won't be. But we'll see how it goes. I'll just have to try and do what I can. In the meantime, folks, thank you for listening, subscribing, praying for our nation, praying for our leaders. Continue to lift up the truth in our nation. God bless, folks. Have a great day.